You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Well, good morning. My name is Bin, and I have the joy of teaching the word of God. Welcome to our 14th anniversary. It's so good to have you here. I want to quote you a famous American prophet from the 21st century, the prophet Scotty Scheffler. He said these words during the week, I can't wait to get home and celebrate this championship with the people that have helped me along the way. But at the end of the day, it doesn't fulfill the deepest desires of my heart. Just because you win a golf tournament or accomplish something, it doesn't make you happy. It doesn't, maybe for a few moments, maybe for a few days, but at the end of the day, there's more to life than playing golf. I mean, what a great prophet. Today's a great day. Don't get me wrong. God has done a lot of good things in this church. We are in a very good place. We are a very blessed church. But our deepest desires is only fulfilled in the blesser and not the blessings. We must never forget God. I mean, I look back in the last 14 years, and if I don't get too carried away, I can draw all my attentions towards the blessing and forget the blesser. Because all the things that's taken place here will never fulfill the desires of the heart. You know, in our church here, we have over 35 different nationalities in this church here. Around 100 children under the age of 12. Around 50 crazy teenagers under Eli's leadership. You know, Tuesday mornings, we serve around 150 students from Aramore College hot chocolates. Friday right here, it's a like a riot. There's a play group of around 60 people right here. Around 400 people would gather every weekend in the morning and the PM to worship Jesus here. Over 550 people call this place Sun Life, their spiritual home. And this building here, we bought this building some 7 years ago, right in Leederville, Oxford Street. A lot of good things, don't get me wrong. A lot of good things. But all those things will never satisfy the deep desires of the heart. The French philosopher from the 17th century, Blaise Pascal, he says this, we are made for God. We're not made for a building. We're not made for what happens here. We're made for God. There's a God-shaped vacuum in every human heart which can be filled only by God himself. Every one of us here, whether you know God or don't know God or you're on the journey of figuring out God, there is a God-shaped vacuum in your heart. And unless God fills that place, you will never be satisfied. Chasing after success, accolades, whatever, career, family, you can go for it. But you'll never be satisfied unless God fills the void of your heart. And I want to say that on this birthday, because whatever we do here, we must always be chasing God. We must always be pursuing God, and it's only when we meet God and encounter God, He will fill the deepest desires of our heart. And so what I want to do with the time I have is I want to take you to Psalms 117, the shortest Psalms in the Bible and the shortest chapter in the Bible, and explain how we should always praise Him, chase Him, worship Him. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalms 117. Here's the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. praise the Lord. That's it. That's the only Psalms. Like one of my boys during the week said to me, Dad, how are you going to find 3 points from two chapters? Well, I guess I've got to give you 3 points, right? And here they are. The summon to worship, the reasons for worship, and the mission of worship. And that's what I want to talk about. Let me pray and we'll work the text together. God, I pray now that as I begin to teach your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, you be our great teacher. May your people hear your voice through your word. More of you, less of me. Lord, help us to draw our affections towards you right now. Speak to us. May we not just be hearers, but also doers of what you want us to do. We are grateful for your loving kindness towards this community. We love you so much. May this time be a sacred time as we study your word together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The summon is the first point to worship. You know, this psalm here is a call to worship. It is to praise God. It's to make a big deal of God. Look in verse 1 again. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. Now, I don't use the word extol a lot these days. In fact, honestly, I can't even remember if I've ever used that word. I don't even know what that word meant until I had to research it during the week. And it's the Hebrew word shabbath. And shabbath means to praise aloud. It means to glorify God. It is a loud, public proclamation. A community loudly, joyfully boasting God. You know, there was one time I was at the Optus Stadium watching my beloved Fremantle Dockers play. I want to say thank you to the West Coast Eagle fans for allowing my team to win yesterday. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. The bloke next to me, I don't know him, but I think his middle name is probably Passion, because every time the Dockers kick the goal, the guy's out of his seat, fist pumping the air, giving every random high five, saying things like, did you see that? That's what I'm talking about. Now that's a goal. What a ripper. He's a machine, right? And the wonderful thing, there's a slide, by the way. I just want to put this slide here. The Dockers, there it is. I just want to put that there just to remind my Eagles fans that we did win yesterday. Just want to get it out there. The wonderful thing, right, was that his enthusiasm and passion got everyone around him excited. So every time the Docker kicked a goal, we're all hugging each other, and we've never met each other before. We're pumping our fists in the air, just high-fiving every random that's arm length, you know. We're screaming like a 14-year-old girl at a Taylor Swift concert. Ah, this is amazing, all right? Now, I don't think you can ever go to a game and watch the Dockers play and find a fan quietly admiring the Dockers when they kick a goal or take a screamer. I don't think you can. I don't think you'll find someone say, oh, gee, I hope he didn't get a nose bleed because he jumped so high as he marked that fabulous ball. I don't think you ever see that. You know, the word extol here is to make a loud noise. The word extol here is to joyfully praise the Lord. And so when I planted Sun Life Church some 14 years ago, if you know, one of our 6 core values is passionate in worship. To be passionate in the way we proclaim God, in the way we boast of God. And we want to do it in a way that other people will see our love for this God. Because Jesus, he is worth, friends, our time when we gather on Sunday. He is worth our praises. He is worth us straining our vocal cords as we try to sing like Jordan and the guys on stage. He is worth everything we do, and that is passion. And that is the word extol we see right here. And over the years, I've had a lot of people who said to me, well, Pastor Ben, you don't get it. I don't sing. I don't do singing. I want to come here and hear the word of God preach, and worship is not my thing. The only problem theologically with that comment is that this verse here is not optional. It's a summon. Now, I want to show you something. In this verse here, verse 1, the word praise and extol is in the imperative plural. And what that means is that when something is an imperative, there's no option. It's not optional. God is not saying, well, sing to me, make a big deal about me, you know, raise your voice out loud if you want to. God is not saying that. God is not saying to us, oh, if you like the song, if the song is played well, then sing. God's not saying that. If you've happened to have had a good season and you know that God is good, then praise him. The imperative means it's not optional. It's a summon. You are called to sing to him. You are called to boast about him. You are called to make a big deal of God. That's what the imperative verb means. The plural, because it's a imperative plural, means you don't do this alone. The plural means that every opportunity you are gathered with God's people, that is an opportunity to proclaim his goodness. That's the word extol right there. Every time we gather here as a community, other people here, what a wonderful opportunity to joyfully worship God. There are many passages in the Bible where they use the same verb. Psalms 47 verse 1, clap your hands, O peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Even if you can't clap to the right timing, it doesn't matter. God sees the hand movement. Even if you can't sing and you're always, like me, a note, maybe half a note off, it's okay. The Lord wants to see his children excited to lift up praises towards him. Psalms 110 verse 1 and 2, make a joyful noise, all the people. There it is right there. If you can't sing, just make a noise. Whatever it is, go for it. Go for it. The Lord sees your heart. If the person next door is kind of struggling, then maybe tone it down a little bit. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with what? Singing. Come singing. Obviously, being a reformed charismatic church, Calvin has a huge say in my theology. This is what John Calvin says. He says, the best way to praise God is with joy. You serve with gladness. You praise him with joy and gladness, for God does not delight in gloomy worship. It is a summon. And I think we are all summoned as his people to make a big deal of him, to tell the world about him. My second point here is the reasons. You find this in verse 2. There are two reasons. Here's verse 2 again. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. The first reason that we should really boast God and pursue him and love him is God's great steadfast love directed towards us. The Hebrew word here for love is hasid. And hasid is often used in the Psalms and the Old Testament. And there's many meanings to it. And so some translation would say it's loving kindness, merciful kindness, covenantal love. In this particular one here, steadfast love. And the most interesting thing, and you've got to trust me here, about this verse 2 is that the word hasid is written twice. So it's mentioned twice in the original Hebrew. So it reads like this, the hasid of God is directed towards us. It's strange, eh? But biblical writers, when they repeat a particular word, so by placing the same word side by side, the technique of repetition speaks of emphasis, yeah? So it's like when I ask my children when they were younger, you know, how tasty, how yummy was that ice cream? And they would reply, oh, Daddy, it was so yummy, you know? Or when Tran first saw me across the room many years ago, that guy is so good looking. I'm going to marry him one day. You know, like, you know, when the whole, you know, repetition, right? It's emphasis, right? And right here, the writer is saying is that we are to passionately praise him because of his great love directed towards us. It's not directed towards creation or towards you and me. That's why St. Augustine, he has this beautiful quote. He says this, God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. That's how much he loves you, my friends. He loves you as if he only created one person, and that person is you. That's his chassid love here. And if you know how much he loves you, and you know that he loves you more than you can imagine, and you know that his love is unconditional and it's not dependent upon your love and it's always directed towards you, wow, he's worth pursuing. He's worth boasting and praising and making a noise. John says this, he writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us and he sent his son to be a propitiation for our sin. In other words, he sent his son to die for us because he loved us before we would ever love him. That's the love of God for us. It reminds me of a story of a father whose teenage son rebelled terribly against the father, stealing money, lying constantly, and doing everything against his father's will. And after one explosive argument, the boy ran away from home, leaving behind a devastated family. And the years passed by, and the father would search for his son. He would pray for his son daily, and he would always keep the front porch light on every single night. And he would even place one of his son's old pair of favorite sneakers at the front. It's all worn out, but every time the father would look at the sneakers, it reminded him of his boy. One day, the son, who's tired now and he's broken and he's ashamed, he finds himself near home again and he didn't know what to say. He had nothing left, this son, no explanation, no apology strong enough. So he thought to himself, well, I'll sneak in, I'll grab a meal and I'll slip away. But as he was walking down the driveway, he saw the front porch light on. He saw the pair of shoes that he used to wear. He walked close towards the house, and as he reached the door, the father opened the door and ran out, tears screaming down his face, hugged the son. And the son began to say, Daddy, but I'm so. But the father interrupted. The father said, you are home. That's all I ever wanted. I love you. I've always loved you, and I always will. That's the love of God for you and for me. Sounds familiar? See, we see this parable in Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. Let me read you some verses. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father says, for this son of mine was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Friends, God's chassid love is directed for you and for me. He loves you a lot. There is no sin. There's no mistake. There's no shortcoming. There's nothing that God will and cannot forgive. That's why the gospel is all about God's love for us. That God gave up his son so that in the death of his son, we can see his love. We can see his love for us, that he's drawing us back to him. Pastor Timothy Kelly has this quote, you are so loved that Jesus was glad to die for you. Not reluctantly, but with joy, because his love for you is not based on your performance, but based on his grace. That love is directed towards you. And if you know that, he's worth pursuing, he's worth worshiping. The second reason is God's faithfulness endures forever. You know that God's faithfulness does not end. There's no news by date. There's no expiry date. In fact, the word faithfulness here actually means reliability. God is trustworthy. So what God says about you and about me, he cannot in his nature take it back. That's mind-boggling. So when God says that you are his beloved, he cannot withdraw that comment. When God says that you are forgiven, He cannot in His nature withdraw that comment. When God says you are set free, He cannot withdraw that comment. And when God says that you are saved by grace, you are saved, and He cannot withdraw that comment. So when you mess up, and we all mess up, and when you're having your worst day, and when you are faithless, guess what? His faithfulness still remains. I mean, how great is that? And if you know that, He is worth pursuing. He is worth following. Look what Paul would say to a young pastor by the name of Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, you and I, there'll be times where we're faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. That means that every promise of God for you and for me, it doesn't expire. God cannot change. In theology, we call that the immutability of God. His character, His promises and purposes, He cannot change. So that's why when you drift away from God, like I love these testimonies. I love Ming saying how she was far from God and God pulled her back. You know, when you have those seasons of life where you drift away from God and you are distanced from God and there's a disconnect between you and God, and you often find yourself asking God, God, do you still love me? God, do you still notice me? God, do you still hear my prayer? God, am I still your son? Am I still your daughter? You know what the answer is? Yes. Because God cannot change. Yes, you are still loved by God. Yes, He still sees you. Yes, He still hears you. Yes, you're still His son. You're still His daughter. Because His faithfulness endures forever. His faithfulness towards you and me is not based upon us, because there'll be seasons when we are faithless, but He remains faithful. That's the reason why, as I look back in this community here, I go, wow, God, you are so faithful. I'm not a perfect leader. I'm not a perfect pastor. I was playing golf yesterday with Jeff. Oh my goodness, I nearly wanted to break something. And I didn't, praise God. And then one of Jeff's partner said to me at the end of the golfing session, hey, you're Pastor Bin, right? And I did not have the conversation with him that I was a pastor, but praise God, I kept myself under control, because it would have been very embarrassing if he saw me break a couple clubs and then, yeah, I'm Pastor Bin. You see, in those seasons when we are faithless and we mess up and we do things we should not do and we think that God has left us and God doesn't love us, His faithfulness endures forever, my friend. If I know that His great hasid, steadfast love, is directed towards me and His faithfulness endures forever, wow. There are good reasons to pursue Him. There are good reason to proclaim Him, to worship Him, to make a big deal about Him. Amen? Now let me finish with my last point, my third point, the mission. I need you to go back to verse 1. I want to show you something. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples. You see in verse 1, you notice that? All nations, all peoples. Let me explain you something. For the Jewish people, when they first read this psalm here, it was a shock for them. Here's the reason why. They were the only nation that worshiped God. They were the only people who knew God. So when the psalmist says, other nations worship God, all nations, all people, the Hebrews or the Jewish people nearly fell off their seat. Because for them, everyone else worshiped idols. Everyone else worshiped false gods, pagan gods. But right here, the psalmist says, everyone is to extol God. That means that the message of Jesus that you and I have does not end with us. That means that the praises that takes place right here doesn't end here. That means that the blessings of God that has come your way doesn't end with you and your family. It means that you and I must live a life that those who don't know Him today will one day also praise Him with us. That's the mission for those who have made the decision to follow Him. F.B. Meyer, he has this beautiful quote. He says, we are Are we doing all we can to kindle the nations to praise? They cannot praise him whom they do not know. It is mere hypocrisy to bid them praise him if we have never sought to spread by lips or gift the mercy and truth revealed in Jesus our Lord. You see that? Our praise, our worship, the way we live out our days must always be missional. That there are people in your spheres of influence, in your family, at your workplace that you meet who do not know God yet. And God wants you and I to live lives so that these people one day will also praise God with their lips. John Piper, he has this quote, "Mission exists because worship doesn't." There are people who are not worshiping God yet because they don't know God. But you do. You've received the love of God, the blessing of God, then you must live lives so that others will see God in you and through you, so that one day your family and friends will also worship God. How can they praise God if they do not know God? And if you know God, that's your role with the help of God. Let me finish with this testimony here. There's a dear brother who comes to Sun Life Church for the last month or so. He comes to the PM service, so he's not here today. He'll be here this afternoon. He was walking down Oxford Street, heading towards the gym. And as he was walking past our church building, he heard some singing, some worship. He stopped. He did a U-turn. And he walked up the steps into the foyer. He found a seat, and he began to listen and worship. He calls this place home. He's on a journey of following Jesus and trying to figure out who this Jesus is. And he says to me a couple weeks ago, "I'm so glad that I'm accepted here." I said, "Why would you even say that?" He goes, "You don't know my story." I said, "Well, you can tell me your story." And he began to tell me his story. And I said, "Oh, mate, you think you're bad. You should know my story. You should know the other stories, all the other people here. There's no one perfect here. We're all on a journey. This is not meant to be a perfect place. This is a place where God heals us and prepares us to go out there and love people who are far from God." And of course, now he's a Sun Lifer and the rest is history. But this is a guy who walked up Oxford Street towards the gym and turned around because of people worshiping and finding a place to sit down. And you see, Sun Life Church, happy birthday. I'm so happy for you. 14 years, an amazing achievement. God has been very kind to you. God bless you. But I want you to always remember, pursue the blesser and not the blessings. Because there'll be seasons where it's down. You've got to keep loving him. Right now, we're on a high. Praise God. It's easy to pursue him when things are good. But there'll be seasons where we'll come down. Not only in your church, this church, but in your personal walk, in your life, in your situation. So keep pursuing him. Keep worshiping him and proclaim him when you don't want to. Keep doing it. You know why? Because you're summoned to praise him. It's not optional. You know why? His hasid, his great love, steadfast love, loving kindness directed towards you, and his what? Faithfulness endures forever. And you know why? Because your life and my life doesn't end here. It ends out there in the mission field. That we have to be a missional community. Happy birthday, Sun Life Church. You're only 14 years old. You're a teenager. It's the wild years. Gee, we're crazy. I can't wait to see when we're 21. Oh my goodness. God bless you. Happy birthday. Let me pray for you. Lord, you're good. You're a good God. You're a great God. We love you so much. As a family, we are family. Help us to always pursue you. Help us to always chase after you. Help us to always put you first, no matter how hard it is. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who may not know your hasid, your loving kindness, your merciful love. I pray that they'll experience it, God. I pray that they'll experience your faithfulness that endures forever. And help them to proclaim you and worship you and give their lives to you. Thank you for your kindness towards this church over the last 14 years. We love you so much. Indeed, you're a good God. Help us to live beyond the four walls of this church. Help us to be missional-minded, looking at those who we know that you have already sent our way so that we can love and point them to the one who came to die for us, to love us when we didn't love him. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being so kind to Sun Life Church over the past 14 years. Hallelujah, you're a good God. In Jesus' name we pray.